Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Luke chapter 14 is where we're going to be, loved ones. If you want to turn in the Cornerstone app to sermon notes, lots of scripture and notes are there. Or if you simply want to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 14, that's our primary text for today. The setting is this, and hopefully it's not that close to lunch, we're going to be okay, but we're talking about a dinner gathering. So you'll be out in time for lunch. Push that off, but we're going to talk about food. We're at least going to talk about a dinner that someone was hosting, and they invited Jesus. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? Invite Jesus to dinner. Watch what happens as we look at Luke chapter 14 together. Luke 14, verse 1, we're going to go all the way through the 24 verses, and then that'll conclude our time. It says this in verse 1, "Now it happened as he, as Jesus, went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, they watched him closely." Not particularly what he was taking of food or how he was eating. They're wanting to trap Jesus. What's he going to do? "And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy." So when you're invited to the Pharisee's home, often there would be a number of people, and then there would be kind of the rubberneckers, the people who are coming to look. They're not invited to the dinner, but they're just trying to have a look at what's going on. And so there's other people in the room. They watched him closely. There was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. And he took him, this man with dropsy, and he healed him and let him go. And he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox, has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they couldn't answer him regarding these things. How long had this man had dropsy, we don't know. But what we do know is the Pharisees didn't heal him yesterday, and tomorrow wasn't looking good either. And so, no better time than the present, and Jesus heals him. And he essentially says, listen, you'd rescue your animal on a Sabbath if they were in trouble. And so I'm going to heal him because he's worth it. You put a value on your animals, I put a value on him, I'm going to heal him. And that's what he did. Verse 7. And then he tells this parable about those who are gathered around. Watch what he says. "So he told the parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, When you're invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him, by the host. And he who invited you and him come and say, 'Please give this man, give place to this man. Let him get out of the seat. Let this guy sit here.' When you begin, then you begin with shame to take the lowest place." He says, do this. "When you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, may say to you, 'Hey, friend, come up higher. Don't sit there. Come on closer.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you." And he says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he said to him who invited him, so he says to the host, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, brothers, relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid." When you give a feast, now watch the demographic that he says, four groups of people. "When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." He's saying, don't show hospitality with an agenda just to be invited to their place. Don't give expecting something in return. There's a very destructive teaching in the kingdom of God that talks about the motivation to give, that you give to get. And part of it is a scripture that's twisted about if you give, it will be returned to you. If you give, you're going to get back. In fact, you're going to get back more. It will return this. The text has everything to do with provision, not prosperity. Has everything to do with provision. You're not going to come up short by giving. It will be given back to you. You don't give to get. That's called greed. You don't give to get. You give to give. And as you give, the Lord says, I'll look after it and I'll look after you. My nephew years ago, I took him to a baseball game. And as we were sitting, I don't remember the inning, it was probably third inning or so, somewhere around in there. He said to me, Uncle Barry, would you like some popcorn? We'd gotten some snacks, gotten some popcorn. And I said, no, thanks, Ed. He says again, would you like some popcorn? I said, no, I'm good, thanks, I don't want any. Uncle Barry, I'm glad to share my popcorn with you. And I said, Royce, would you like some of my M&Ms? Oh, yes, please. It was this, okay, it is not a popcorn issue. It is I've got M&Ms issue. I'm happy to share. And he certainly was happy to share, but the motivation was he was eyeing my M&M peanuts. Invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, for they can't repay you. Don't just invite people over who can have you back, who can return the favor. Awkward. Having Jesus for dinner sounded like a good idea at the time. Hey, come on over. We're having some people over. I'm going to invite Jesus. And he comes, and having him for supper may not be all it's cracked up to be because he speaks to the guests who are vying for position. And then he says to the host, you know, you invited the wrong people. Verse 15, this man chimes in. Now, when one of those who sat at the table with him, so not the onlookers, somebody who's been invited to the meal, who sat at the table with him, heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Which I think is a little bit like, well, let's move on, shall we? This has been awkward. Let's look forward to the day when we can just all sit down at the table in the kingdom of heaven and we'll all get along and everything will be fine. Won't that be lovely? Would you go ahead and pass the banana bread? Watch what happens. Watch what Jesus says now in these next nine verses. And it's this text that I want to share with you that I think really applies to this moment for Cornerstone Church that we're in 2023. Watch this. Jesus is going to tell a story for everyone, for the host and for those who are invited, and he's going to tell a story for us. Verse 16, then he said to him, to this man who said, hey, can't we just all eat bread in the kingdom? Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But with one accord, they began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, not going to work. I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Then still another said, I have married a wife. And that's like that's supposed to be self-explanatory. I don't know what that means. I'm not allowed out to come and play or what. You know, I've married a wife, so... I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. The master of the house, Jesus said, the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. That same demographic that he said to those sitting, to the host, these are the people that you need to invite. Now Jesus puts that in the story of this master having this feast and inviting the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. The understanding of the story is this, that those who were invited, how it would have worked is they would have been invited and they would have already RSVP'd with a yes. Those who were invited, that's why he's going. That's why the servant is going to those who have already received a personal invitation and have responded, yes, we'll come. Then there's this preparation that takes place. And then the servant goes and says, hey, things are ready. And they say, I can't come after all. They're invited, called by name, this personal invitation. And they excuse themselves. They ask, may I please be excused? That was never granted. They are excusing. In fact, the word would probably better be, they are refusing. They are rejecting. They are avoiding. They did not now accept that offer. And the servant informs the master, hey, they're not coming. And the master, as you can see in the story, looks around and says, but I've prepared all this. And they're not coming. And by virtue of what we read, how the story unfolds, his attitude would be, I am not letting this go to waste. I am not letting what I've prepared go to the waste. Neither is the master going to postpone the dinner until the people are ready. The master's timetable, and I'm sure that we can, when we think about end times and the Lord's return and all these things, the master's timetable is set. And he has given us time to get ready. And if we're not ready, that is not his fault. This isn't going to go to waste. The dinner's on his table. They were invited. They're refusing to come. And then he says to the servant, go quickly. There is a sense of urgency. Go quickly. Time is short. Things are ready. I'm not going to let this be ruined. I'm not going to let this go to waste. Time is ticking. Go quickly. And watch what he says to the streets and the alleys and to the same demographics that Jesus had said to the host, invite these people. Invite the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. The poor, when you think about the poor, and certainly in this context and in our context, would be, he would specifically be talking about people begging. We see that throughout Scripture, whether it's a man at the gate beautiful in the book of Acts saying, alms, alms, does anybody have anything? And looking at Peter and John expecting to receive something from them. People begging on the roadside, whether it's blind Bartimaeus. We see that. It's that type of begging. And it's the people who are hungry. He says to the man, go to the poor, those who are in need, go to them. Those who cannot repay me, those who are hungry, looking for a free meal. The maimed, we don't use that word, nor do we use, some of the versions will say crippled. We don't use that word anymore because of the negative connotation that has had over the years. So we wouldn't call people crippled, but the word crippling, or to be crippled, it means to be severely damaged, that somehow there has been a damage. Severely damaged. And the lame and the blind, the people who can't get here, even if they wanted to come, they need help getting here. Those, the lame, they need help getting here. The blind, they need help getting to the dinner. But he does not, I want you, if you would, to notice, and we're going to look at this as well in the next verses, Jesus does not say invite them. He says, bring them. Bring them. The invitations have gone out, personalized invitations. People have refused that. Now he says about this master saying to the servant, go to the poor, go to the maimed, go to the blind and the lame, and bring them. It's exactly the same word that we see in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 2 when Mary and Joseph bring Jesus into the temple, baby Jesus, when they carry him in. That's the word. Go bring them. Bring them here. My sister Valerie watches online. She's in the States right now. But she will tell you that my dad used to say to her, it was an issue of going to church. And that was never negotiable in our house. There was not a decision. It was never growing up, are we going to church on Sunday? Are you breathing? You're going to church on Sunday. But Valerie will tell you that my dad would say, if I have to piggyback you down the aisle, we're going to church. And his conviction was, it was his job to get the kids to church. It was God's job to do something with them while they were there. But we are going. Bring, carry, we're going to get you there. It's that kind of picture that the master is saying. There, but loved ones, hear this. There are people who will not be at the dinner unless someone brings them. There are people who will not be at the dinner unless someone brings them. There are people who've been invited. That, as Jesus is telling the story, these people from Israel, they're going to have some trouble with this story, who have been invited and are now rejecting the invitation. Oh, we thought it was going to be something different. We thought it was going to be someone different. Verse 22. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and there's still room. Two things. One, I love the servant's response. The master said, do it, and the servant did it. That's the kind of attitude I want to have with the Lord. When Jesus says, do it, I want to come to him and say, it's done. What you asked me to do, I've done. Scripture tells us, Jesus telling another story about when the master returns, that there's a blessing upon the servant whom he finds doing what he asked to be done. And he says this, it's done. They're here. Those who wouldn't be here unless someone brought them, they're here. And the master's response to that statement. So first thing was, it's done. But there's still room. And the master's response, watch what it is. Two, there's still room. Verse 23, the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Go into the highways and the hedges. Who's hiding in the hedges? Like, that's a funny statement. I'll talk about that. Go to the highways and the hedges and bring them in. And this phrase, that my house may be filled. God wants his house filled. Highways, it's those traveling, passing through, not from around here, not from around these parts. They don't know the host, but they can. Go beyond your neighborhood. Go beyond where you live. Go beyond your circle. Go to those who are just traveling through life. Extend your reach to the strangers. And the hedges, we read about hedges in Scripture with some frequency. We talk about that God will hedge us in, that he has protected us, or that there is a tower or a tree, that there's a hedge around. It has to do with a wall. It has to do with a barrier. It has to do with this here and this here, and in between is the hedge. A hedge of protection. He's hedged me in. It really has to do with a separation. It's the same word that we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, where it's talking about Jesus and the Jews and the Gentiles. And it says that Jesus is our peace, and that he has taken the Jews and the Gentiles, and he's brought them together into one man. No longer Jews, no longer Gentiles. Instead, brought them into a new creation called a Christian. He's brought us into one. And what it says is that he has broken down the wall of separation that was between the two. He himself is our peace because he has broken down that wall. It's the same word as hedge. It's that same thing. There has been a wall of separation. And this master will say, go out to those who are traveling and go out to those who there has been a wall of separation where they could not get in. Whether it's by their own doing, it's their own thought. I have met with people who say, I can't come. If you knew the things that I have done, you wouldn't want me in church. Well, a while ago, on a Father's Day, we were borrowing some Harley-Davidson motorcycles to ride into the church. And there was a ride against poverty we were doing and stuff. We were borrowing one of the bikes from a biker guy. And, you know, we asked him, would you like to ride it in? And he said, if I ride that into the church, I'm going to catch on fire. You know, just it's going to burn the church to the ground. But whatever the wall is that people think that they can't come to Jesus, go get them. But the master did not say invite them, nor did he say bring them. Those who are traveling on the highway and those who are, there's a hedge, there's a wall, there's a barrier. He did not say invite them and he did not say bring them. He said compel them. Compel them to come. Those who have been kept out. That word compelling, it has to do with, and this sounds pretty harsh, it has to do with force. It has to do with pressure. And sometimes we say to people, well, would you like to come to church? No pressure. That's not this word. This word is, I'm going to turn the screws on this. Like, this is it. It's pressure and it's compelling. But the reason why that pressure, it has to do with necessity. It's that urgency, go quickly, but that pressure, it has to do with necessity. They don't know how much they need to be at the dinner. They're unaware. And it's this compelling, it's this convincing with conviction. That's what this compelling is. It's this drive. It's this force. You need to be there. Even if you don't know your need, I need to convince you of that with urgency. And verse 24, and then we'll close. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. The fact that the invited guests are absent from the dinner is not the fault of the master. I've invited, I've prepared, they've refused. We don't know how this moment ends right there. Well, let's eat. Like it doesn't unfold like that. I'm guessing some will have lost their appetite. But here's how I think that we can respond as Cornerstone Church. Number one, invite people by name. The people that you know. It's that personal invitation. There are people who you know who deserve a personal invitation. Invite them to join you. Invite them to join you in following the Lord. Invite them to church. Invite them to encounter the presence of God in worship. Invite them to encounter God's word. Invite them to community, to meet your friends at church, people who are also following Jesus. Invite them to, and this is scriptural, come and see. Come and see. There's certainly the go and tell, but there's the come and see. Invite them. And each Sunday, I will give the opportunity for people to accept Christ. You bring someone here, I will give them the opportunity to accept Christ in our service. You've accepted that invitation. Invite others. Secondly, bring people. That sounds like, well, that's the same thing, Barry. It's not. Bring people. Bring people who would not get here if you didn't bring them. Who can't get here by themselves and won't get here unless someone brings them. Looking beyond our friends, looking beyond just, hey, the people we get along with. It's the poor, those who are in need. Maybe they're poor in resources or maybe they're poor in spirit. And isn't that the place where Jesus said that we begin at entrance into the kingdom? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom, or theirs is the entrance into the kingdom. They have a need. Scripture will tell us to those who are poor, those who are poor in spirit or poor in resources, come, take what you need. Come buy bread and wine and milk without money. You who have no money, come and buy. It's freely offered. The maimed, those who have been so severely damaged. I have sat with people, and maybe you have too, but I remember this one situation, just such brokenness. And the woman looked at me and Audrey, and she said, this was her summation. I'm just damaged goods. That's all I am. I'm just damaged goods. May we bring people who believe that's all they are is damaged goods, because we serve a healer. We serve a God who brings wholeness to broken people. Come and be healed. Bring the lame, those who are just stuck in one spot and can't move forward, stuck in whatever situation, just can't get past, and goes, and the cycle happens over and over and over again, and are just stuck on repeat. Jesus can make them walk again and move forward in the path that he has for them. Bring the blind. Bring those who just can't see the future God has for them. It's always been there. They just couldn't see it. That God would touch their eyes. Bring them, lead them, carry them to Jesus, to church, to family, to the dinner. And then lastly, compel them. Compel those who are traveling through life unaware. Confront them, compel them, convince them. Those who think there is an impenetrable barrier that would keep them out because of a wall, because of their own sinfulness, or because of, oh, the church wouldn't want me, or the church is judging me, or I wouldn't be welcome there. Convince them. The doors are wide open. They need to be here, and they need to be with Jesus. Jesus made a way whereby we can all approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy in our time of need. Lastly, let me close with this. There's room for you. There is room for you. You've responded to the invitation. There's room for you. There's room for others. Invite them, bring them, compel them. Not just to church, but to Jesus. And to Jesus we come and we say these things, three very simple things. We say, I'm sorry, please, and thank you. If you haven't ever accepted Christ into your life, and I have no idea if you're watching today, you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, your sins haven't been washed away, it's as very simple as saying, I'm sorry, please, thank you. I'm sorry. We come and we say in prayer, would you please forgive me? I'm sorry for my sin. We turn from our sin. We say, please come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Thank you for saving me. We can say that in a prayer. It's as easy as ABC. It's admitting that we are a sinner. We're believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and he rose again. And see, we confess that through prayer. Scripture, the Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and we confess in our mouth, we'll be saved. And then it promises us this. It says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you've not ever prayed that prayer, I'm just going to lead in a prayer. You can echo it along in your own heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I've not only done wrong, I have been wrong. And I've lived my life apart from you. I pray that you would forgive me of my sin, that you would come into my life, and that you would help me to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. There's room. There's room for you. There's room for others. And there's room for God. Audrey has been praying. She told me this the other day about this room in this building. She said, Barry, there's room for more people. She said, I'm praying that God is going to fill this place. I'm praying that God is going to fill this place with people getting saved, with people coming to know the Lord. And we have to have room for the move of God's Spirit. We have to have room for his breath upon our church. We so desperately need him. We need to be a praying church and a church just calling out to him for people to be saved. On May the 7th, Sunday morning, the service is called Lord, Hear Our Cry. Lord, Hear Our Prayer. Lord, Hear Our Cry. And we're going to spend the morning in praise and in prayer. We're going to have a time of worship and there will be celebrative worship. We're going to celebrate the presence of the Lord, and we are going to take time to pray. Just like we did at the beginning of the year. I don't want to wait till the beginning of next year to set aside an entire Sunday morning to gather together to praise the Lord and to pray and ask God for a fresh move of his Spirit upon our church. Some people, you might say, well, why our church? I say, why not our church? Why not here? And it's just my heart's cry and prayer. God, in our gatherings, when the family comes together, may there be an evident presence of God. May those that we invite, may those that we bring, may those that we convince and compel experience the presence of God. Turn their hearts and lives to him. May we be those who do what the Master said with urgency, go and get them, that they might be saved. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We're so very, very grateful that you love us, that we are yours, and that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And today we declare that you are our chief cornerstone. We name the church after you. This gathering of believers, we name after you. You are the chief cornerstone. You're the one our faith is built upon. Our lives are built upon. It's about you, Jesus. And we're so grateful to bring people here. But it's not just bringing them to a to a building or to a facility. It's bringing them to your presence, to an awareness of your presence, where they can hear your word, where they can sense your presence, where they can be ministered to by this congregation. God, I pray for a release of the gifts of the Holy Spirit upon our church to minister to people, to bring wholeness and healing and restoration and life. Where there's despair, I pray there would be hope. Where there's sorrow, I pray there would be joy. God, that your Spirit would be upon your people to minister. Let it not just happen up here at the front. Let it just fill this room with people ministering one to another, oh God. Because we are all able ministers. We are all able and called ministers of grace and reconciliation. So God, we invite you, we welcome you. Breathe upon our church as we invite, as we bring, and as we compel others to know you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.